Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, I have to apologize to those of you who were listening yesterday. I told you that Richard Bandler was going to be on today, but I had the wrong day. Somehow or another, my calendar got whacked around on 2 days. Today we have Debbie Mandel, and I can't tell you how appropriate this subject matter is, addicted to stress, because I have had a barrel full today, so I'm so glad Debbie's going to be on the line with us today. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. That's quite an intro.
Man, alive. When I talked to you yesterday, you know, there was the goof-up in the scheduling and all of this, and so you said, no big deal. We'll just, you know, sweat it. So that's, you know, we took care of that. But we talk about stress, and I'm going to give you a prime example. I have found that, for example, the computer system that I work with, it was totally corrupted. I'd send out a newsletter, and I find people sending me, said, Don, I got 10 copies of this thing. Don't ask me what happened. All I did was push a button. Didn't do it, but just once. Everything went wacko. Find out our computer system somehow got corrupted. Call the server company, and the server company says, gee, we can't figure out what's going on here either.
Right. I've been there, had that happen.
And I just say, holy Moses, 2.5 hours later, I'm going, okay, what are we going to do here? We live in this world where it's all computer associated and people are so accustomed to emailing and having fast responses, and all of a sudden the world is just closed down. Let's talk about getting addicted to stress.
And you know that that's happened to me as well, and it forces you to reset your natural rhythms and reboot your system.
That's when you go and do laundry and fold the clothes.
That's right. Just go outside and look at nature, and when it's time, your system will come up again. And guess what? You won't miss all that much. Just I had that happen to me for 2 weeks. And something interesting as well, when I went to the Costa Rican rainforest, we went with friends, and this was not business, and this, I was not doing stress management. I had the Costa Rican rainforest. And my friend, who happens to be a financial planner and manager, and those were the good old days when we went. I'm not talking about the financial fallout now.
Mm-hmm.
She takes her BlackBerry and she says, I'm not getting any reception here in the forest. I mean, that was a telling statement. She was perfectly, you know, serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to find our balance and to stop with that surge of the things that I have to get done. It'll get done in due time. And the universe is telling you, you are having technological karma.
So for those of you listening, we've got 10 emails. This is technological karma. Somebody burped real big on that line. Well, let's get into your book because I really enjoyed it. And I thought addiction to stress. Now, there's 10,001 addictions, so here's another one that we add to the list. But I loved how you started out your book because you found a poem, A Woman's Work Is Never Done. It was written in 1775, and when I read this, I said, in the 1700s they were talking like this. Let me just share the poem with my listeners. There's never a day from morn till night, but I wits work am tired quite. For when the game with me is at its best, I hardly in a day take 1 hour's rest. Sometimes I knit and sometimes I spin. Sometimes I wash and sometimes I do ring. Sometimes I sit and sew by myself alone, and thus a woman's work is never done. 1700s! Hey, folks, we've been going through this for a long time.
We've gotten worse than that. For the last few decades, women have been taking on greater responsibilities at work and at home, while the men have been doing less. they see what's important in life and are starting to relax. You know, when people say to me, did you pick that title, Addicted to Stress, because it's jazzy and you want to get attention? It's really an addiction. It's that endless to-do list, the pattern of the overdoer at home and at work that keeps growing. And the key point here is that we feel guilty about relaxing and we live for the future, next on the to-do list.
My husband will say to me periodically, can't you just sit down? I said, uh-huh, I can.
So sit down.
And then you get right up and do a chair squat because you might as well. And so, you know, but you're right. There is something about the guys that they can just, when he zones out and he's going to relax, I mean, he zoned out. He's just there.
His feet are up on the coffee table. He's watching TV and you're vacuuming around him. I see it now, Donna. I have a clear view of all of this. And the problem is, what has happened to us that we can't relax? We feel guilty about it. And we keep needing to accomplish more and more. We're not good enough, are we?
Yes. You know, one of the things I feel that is so important, and it's interesting because of just exactly what you're talking about. We don't give ourselves permission to do certain things. If you want to have, I think of a very good friend of the family, and this woman is involved in everything and anything, and you're lucky if you get 5 minutes with her. She's one of the most wonderful individuals. She's a doer, gets things done. It is very, very difficult, even when you're having a meeting with her in a coffee shop, for her just not to be at 1,000 miles an hour. And when you have that, when all of a sudden you are shut down, it's really tough. And lots of times people end up getting sick or having things slam dunk them, like their computer email having a severe PMS attack. It's these kinds of things. If you can laugh at them, you're way ahead of the game.
Right. And you know what? It's more sinister than that. I have found a pattern here, and it's keeping super busy, and that's a way to escape from the self, the disappointments, and the unrealized dreams. We don't want to face the deficits of our own personality, so we'll just keep real busy, and then maybe I'll feel more worthy. But it's got to stop, and we really need to revive that hidden girl within. That's my mission here.
Uh-huh. Now, let me just make a comment. In all of the various areas that I have read about, et cetera, then in my own personal experience as a counselor, patternings like this with men were very, very intense. In fact, men were often told, give yourself some breathers. I mean, they were dropping dead of heart attacks. Now the guys seem to be wising up, and we gals seem to be getting dumbed down in that respect. We think that more is better, and heart attack situations are on the rise with women, high blood pressure, all kinds of things that go right along with the package.
Obesity is fueled by this as well, because you go for junk food. Stress junkies go for junk food. And we skip breakfast, right? And there's something else going on here that's very different from the guys. Women were raised to be suppressed, good little girls. In other words, consummate caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel stress more intensely than men do because we have a deeper limbic system in the brain. So you put it all together. Men are releasing and relaxing. We're picking up the slack. We feel stress more intensely, and we were raised that way, so that's why we feel guilty. Oh, I got a better way of putting it. We feel responsible for everyone's happiness. Does that resonate?
That resonates on many, many levels, and I know of many women that have gone through that, and to be able to back away, to back down from that, is a real big step. It's because women are naturally inclined to being the caretaker. This is just a natural pattern for them. There are some men that are inclined to be that way, but they look at it and work with it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of it has to do with culture, too.
It's culture, it's evolution, right? Tend and befriend, that's what women do. And it's this perpetuation of the value system. I mean, we just read Martha Kay's ballad, right?
Mm-hmm.
A woman's work is never done. This is from generation to generation, and our mothers have taught us to be good little girls. I know if I ever came home and said I was terrific, my mom would say, well, you're showing off. It's not that nice if you say it yourself. And I say, own it.
That happened when I was at a gathering just over the Thanksgiving weekend. There was a beautiful, beautiful family, and they had two exquisitely gorgeous little girls. And the one little girl, she's three, and she was being held by her daddy. And I said to this child, and I really meant it sincerely, you are so beautiful, you have no idea. Well, a member of the family said, don't tell her that. You tell her that, and she's going to get a swelled head. And I looked at her, and I said, you are a beautiful little girl.
Good for you. No one's messing with you.
Yeah. And they, and the, you know, the family member said, no, don't do that. I said, you are a beautiful little girl. And that is something that I don't think the person that was saying it understood really why she was responding the way she was. Just exactly parallel with what you were told and what I was told. You know, this is something you're going to get too arrogant. You should never accept your compliments, you know, because that'll just make you too, your head will get so big nobody will be able to ever, you know, reach you. It's ridiculous.
Yes, and that's why I wrote a chapter in the book called Become a Healthy Narcissist. And women say to me, what? I said, have I got your attention now? Because a narcissist knows what she uniquely brings to the table, and if she fails at something, well, let's move forward,
mm-hmm.
on to the next. And a narcissist will ask for help, right? She
absolutely.
She assumes you want to be in her aura and you want to help her out. We are so afraid to ask for help.
That, I think, is something that is so difficult to overcome. So difficult to overcome. And I'll just relate it on a personal level. It has taken me years. And when I finally reached the point, I went, yahoo, why did it take so long for me to get here? Because to acknowledge that you are having a problem, that you do need help, is one of the strongest signs of someone that's really got a grip on reality. I'm not talking about a whiner that's always, you know, crying, gee, help me, because I don't want to do anything. When someone is really in need of help and they know it and they turn to somebody else and say, could you please help me with this because I haven't a clue.
Right. Or maybe I do have a clue and I can't do it all and I need you to do this with me. And that's when you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an identity, then you don't feel the need to associate yourself with what you do. I can separate who I am from what I do. I'm so much more. So if I'm laid off from work, Donna, I'm still the same person. See, but a lot of people can't. And it's very important, I think, in taking that to-do list, a quick remedy is to look what I did today list.
Mm-hmm.
And that reframes your perception immediately. And it's really about ridding ourselves of that emotional programming in order to build self-esteem.
You make a very good comment there. There was a woman executive who was in the accounting industry and was part of a number of different clubs. And I'll never forget her saying that she had a to-do list that went from her nose down to her toes every day. And she became so stressed about this that she finally, through the advice of a friend, started giving herself credit for accomplishing things on the list because lots of things can run interference. You know, life happens. You are not going to be able to be an automatic programmer here. I mean, even computers go kabutsi. So you are just correct right there, I think, in saying give yourself credit for what you have done. And then if you've got this to-do list, instead of it being from your nose down to your toes, maybe it's your chin down to your toes. But it's going to get shorter, and you are going to be able to do some things as you go along. And you had two points that right at the first part of the book that I thought were very important. One, to acknowledge you're born an original. You are a singularly unique individual, and two, create time for introspection. That's invaluable.
Yes, and you know, creating time for introspection really hinges on seeing it as fun. Many of us think of it as very dark or very Freudian, and I try to create a quiz in the beginning, or a quest, if you will, and the questions were out of left field about your favorite color, animal, this and that, and before you know it, when you look at the answers, for most women, they really had a lot of truth to begin that journey inside. And it's very important that we find out, who are we? Who am I? Where am I going with all of this? Am I accomplishing for myself, or am I doing this for other people? Because if you're doing things out of guilt, there's a loss of self-worth in that point.
That is true. And that sometimes is hard to be able to evaluate, especially if you have adopted the indoctrination of being a superwoman, or a superman for that matter, is really what you should be doing. This is really where you should be. You should be out there. If you're not doing and, you know, on that 24/7 treadmill, you're missing the boat. But someone shared a story with my husband many years ago, and he was a top-notch executive. He would take 4 or 5 vacations a year. And my husband was in his 20s at the time, and he said, how can you do that? He said, I learned something finally when I got into my 40s, that I got more accomplished when I gave time to myself and I broke away. And I became able to see things more clearly when I was rested and energized from the break. I'd come back and I'd get 10 times more done.
There's great productivity in rest, and your husband makes a wonderful point. And we all come back better and more creative after we have our downtime. Inspiration comes to you at that point. But we're so afraid to do that because the boss has to see me busy. Does anyone, Donna, brag to the boss about how much sleep he or she got the night before?
No, not likely.
No. We're just dancing very, very fast, and part of the stress addiction is also that we do things with a loose mind. We're very unfocused, and as a result, things take longer. We are actually sloppier, and people know it. They know when you're not paying attention to them, even if it's through the phone. What if I'm talking to you now and I'm clicking on my little computer and stirring something? I'm not really there for you. I need to listen to you. There are many mistakes in communication because of that. And then we have this dramatic vocabulary. I heard women always saying, I'm crazy busy. I kept noting that phrase. And then somebody would say, oh, you think you're crazy busy? Listen to me. We're bragging about it. It's got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We've become sacrificial givers who are resentful, right? If you're happy with what you do, I think that's passion. But if you're at the end of the day feeling numb from the waist down, dissatisfied, underaccomplished, and resentful, why don't people do things for me, then you're a stress addict.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it gives us a whole different picture of ourselves. One of the women I interviewed a few months back in one of the publications that I went through said that she had made a discovery. She went to some kind of a retreat, and she had entered into her 60s. In this retreat, everyone over the age of 60 was honored, and she joined the group. She stood up, and then she found she was being honored along with all the other women that were over 60. They said, you are now a crone, and you need to know as a crone, you're a respected elder. And she said she did a mind shift right at that moment that was just phenomenal. She said it was as if she took off a garb of mental thought processes that she had carried for so many years, and she relaxed into it. And she said, this is marvelous. I'm valued because I'm an elder. And I'm an old crone.
That's a wonderful story. And the problem is that in our society, which is youth-oriented, women lose a sense of themselves. And I think you hit the nail on the head here for another venue as to why women in particular are addicted to stress. The aging process. What a stressor, physiologically and emotionally. And here, by being hailed an old crone, a dubious honor, but an honor nonetheless, there's a point of wisdom and ownership. This is what I do. This is my creativity. In a time of loss, the way we're going through now, people say to me, what can we do? This falling economy, I'm so upset. We need creative compensation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what we can contribute, how to harness our power to take off that mask and find out your truest identity. That's why I wrote those 7 steps. So that everyone can process privately in the home at the stage that you want to read the tips and the tales and to see where they lead you, the tales of other women. Some you know because you've read the book have succeeded. Others are still navigating.
I think it's an ongoing process of self-discovery. And it should be something that you can have fun with. And if nothing else, it'll give you something to talk about. I mean, goodness gracious, how many people do we meet that when they reach a certain plateau in their life, and it can happen at any age, really, they'll say, well, there's nothing more, and you look at them and you think that they must have come from another planet somewhere, because there's always something wonderful going on. There are so many different things, but they'll just be blank because they haven't known how to get out of that self-prescribed identity that they feel they should have. And again, it's such a stress contributor. I can't tell you how many men as well as women, but more and more women I've found that feel that they must fulfill something that maybe they've seen on television, which may not have any close reality to what they really are.
And what reality does TV have anyway, even reality TV? But the point is that we have this concept of what we should be. And in the chapter on fun, you know how yoga's played up, and I'm certainly a fan, but yoga isn't for everyone. And if that's not right for you, then don't do yoga to de-stress. Everybody has different options and different things they want to do. For me, I was always told, perhaps you too, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade, or if you drop the eggs, bake a sponge cake. Well, I don't want to make lemonade, and I don't want to bake a cake. So you could throw out the tribal beliefs if they don't resonate for you. The point is to really, as I said before, harness your power. Who are you? What do you really want? And if you don't know, because a lot of people say, oh, that's so abstract. But, you know, what is it you love to do, and what is it you're good at doing? Do they intersect? Ask your friends, Donna, what do you think I'm good at doing?
Right.
So I'm waiting for an answer.
What do you think
I'm asking you. You're my buddy now, right?
Yeah.
That's how, let's say I don't know what I'm good at doing. So I'm saying to you, Donna, what am I good at doing?
Well, you have a marvelous way of communicating some of the most interesting ideas.
Okay, I'm a transformer. See, you could poll all your friends.
Right.
And ask them, what do you think I'm good? But it's fun. You see how we made it fun?
Yes, and that's where when a bunch of people can get together, when you can get together with some of your friends and say, we're going to play a game. And let's say, what am I good at game? And just go around and let it be. It really is something when you can be supportive like that. And I've known of women that have come together in meetings of that nature, and they find that they're so rejuvenated by it. The buddy system really works well with women. I don't know about guys, but with the gals, it is really an ace.
They're our best therapists. I love to go to a restaurant, and if I see a group of women, I know they're going to be loud and raucous, and I wish I were at that table, because girls know how to cut loose when they allow themselves to. I want everyone to give themselves permission to have fun, to just relax and ease into your identity. Try on different identities as though it were Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things that you address in your book also is health. And that is so very, very important. And being aware of good nutrition, being aware of supplementation, being aware of rest, you do a very good job of covering this, because so many women are so frustrated with their size. This is part of the American persona. And so many women are at war with themselves. And it has to do with their eating habits, their activity habits. It could be their, you know, the fact that they may be not as active as they were when they were in their 20s. Whatever it is, you do a good job about addressing that, and how that's what you need to do for yourself. You owe yourself to give yourself the best.
Yes, and I will own that. I do a good job because I brought in the latest science to the point how exercise can create new neurons in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing to me. Also, how exercise is a stressor. We don't think of it, but it's a stressor we can manage. And if I can manage that stressor, I raise my threshold. I can handle challenge, because to me, life is a series of recoveries. So let me do that. Let me do that in my fitness. And in food, food and mood, even the order in which we eat our food can affect that. I mean, if I can tap into food science like that, I wake up irritable in the morning, let me grab a complex carbohydrate like oatmeal or something multigrain, and let that work into my system for 20 minutes before I even eat a protein. I can feel better a little bit that way. There are big stressors we might not be able to control, like your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But we can control the little things, and they're cumulative. And in the book, I make you aware of a lot of hidden stressors that you never thought about. And if you can manage them, you are already revitalized and can think straight. The irony is, when you're addicted to stress and you got that surge of adrenaline going, you think you can handle anything. You're hypervigilant, but that's when you send the email you regret, because really you're out of your mind at that point. And the whole thing is to calm down.
You're out of your mind. Okay. You know, this has been a lot of fun, Debbie. And like I said, it was just so perfectly appropriate for the day that I have gone through. And I'm sure that many of our listeners have had their moments in time as well that they could relate to if they had had the opportunity. But Debbie, do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, I renamed my main website Addicted to Stress so people will have no trouble getting there. I don't have to spell it 50 million ways. So it's the same name as the book. And everyone's welcome to visit. And I want to thank you, Donna. It's really been an honor to be on your show and for you to help me get the word out. This is so important. And with awareness, we can stop helicoptering over everyone else and helicopter over ourselves for a change.
Well, I think what can happen, too, is that we can push so hard. I have someone that's in my mind, a young woman, who is only going into her late 30s, high, high positioned individual, very much an A personality. And this young woman ended up with a severe colon problem where she had to end up and go in for a portion of it being cut away.
Oh, my.
And this was an international traveler. And basically what happened is that she was on such a stress level, as young as she is, and the doctor said, you're not eating right, you're not doing it, your body is just absolutely going ballistic. And she was forced to be quiet for about 3 months. And that really gave her a wake-up call, and we had a chance to interact, and it was really sad to see her go through that. But at the same time, she had to make some reevaluations. Your book, Addicted to Stress, I think would serve her very well, and I know I'll be recommending it to some others. Debbie Mandel, thank you for being my guest. Her website is addictedtostress.com. If you're like me and you have some of those moments, aha, you want to know Debbie. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Again, Addicted Distress, Debbie Mandel. That's spelled M-A-N-D-E-L. Debbie, thanks again for being my guest.
A pleasure. Happy holidays.
Thank you, dear. This is Donna. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call in to, toll-free, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I'll need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Now, right off the bat, I mean, I was joking with Debbie about my technology stuff, but it wasn't a joke. And for any of you that have been on my email newsletter list, if you got 10 copies of my newsletter, which I had finally, in a roundabout way, I was able to go in and start retrieving some email messages because we're just closed down right at the moment. We're not able to send or receive anything, but I was able to use an outside source. And I found someone, a couple of people said, Donna, I got 6 of your newsletters, or I got 10 of your newsletters. I'm going, what in the world happened? Nobody has a clue. So please believe I'm not blasting you. I'm not spamming you. It's something that happened totally out of my control, and I have no idea why. So anyway, just realize that if you're anxious about getting information to me about TTAP. You know, you've just heard the ad about TTAP. We've got this wonderful contest going. I've got an alternative email that you can contact me through. So let me give that out in the interim until we get this other mucky mess cleaned up. If you want to be one of the winners of a special that Teresa Tapp is putting out between now and the end of the year, And all you need to do, because we have what we call the email pot, and you can call me if you want to make sure that you get in on it, and maybe your email bounces back or something happens, then call me at my office, 800-872-8852, and I'll put your name and your contact information in the big pot where all the names are going. We're getting such a wonderful response on this. But she's giving away three packages of her products that are worth over $100 to three lucky listeners. So all you need to do is send an email to me and try C Classics, SEECLASSICS at Juno.com. This is something I keep as a backup just in case there's an emergency, just like what we had happen today. So it's cclassics at juno.com. C like you see with your eyes, S-E-E, classics at juno.com. And in the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show, DDS30. DDS30. That is the code you use so that I know that it's specifically relating to the contest that we have here. And that is going to get it to me. And I want to thank those of you that have been so patient. And if you've had some emails bounce back because of this corruption in the system, if you will just use that email I gave you, cclassics@juno.com temporarily, I'll get your information. I'll put you into the contest because you'll want to be fit and fabulous in 2009. This is wonderful. It's going to be a DVD on skin brushing system and also her 15-minute workout set, which is absolutely terrific. That's what I use just about every day. I recommend it highly. This is wonderful to use for wellness for yourself physically, regardless of size. You could be a size 0 up to a size 45. Who cares? This is something where you're going to be able to enjoy good physical fitness. And Teresa is a regular guest on the show. She's absolutely wonderful. She's so knowledgeable, and I'm just so delighted to be able to do this with you and for you. So do send me an email, cclassics@juno.com. Also, then what I would like to say, those of you in the Tacoma, Washington area, I'm going to be doing a special appearance, and part of it is for a fundraiser for the new Phoebe House in Tacoma, Washington. And this is the Dickens Festival. It is going to be held on December the 13th. It's in the stadium area of downtown Tacoma. And you can go to their website, dickensfestival.com, and you can get all of the information. So this is really very, very exciting, and it's going to be so much fun, and I'll be in costume, and I'm going to be at the King's Bookstore. And at King's Bookstore, I am going to be doing many consultations there, 5 or 10 minute sessions, and part of the proceeds will be going to the new Phoebe House in the community. So that's just to bring you up to date with some of the information. And if you have not received the newsletter, then just go into my website and you can check it out online. Go to DelphiInternational.com. Well, how do guys and gals differ in using money? Well, regardless of our backgrounds, our education, or experience, apparently, according to some research that was done via a telephone poll, and it was conducted between the 2nd of October, and it was done by the Consumer Reports Group, it was from the 2nd of October to the 5th of October, is that women are more concerned about finances than men are. I don't know that that really is that big a surprise. Now, this is what they found out, that when it came to spending less on entertainment and eating out, women were more of that disposition, 62%, and men were like 49%. Reducing credit card spending, women were more inclined to do that than the men. And planning to cut down on holiday spending, women were overwhelmingly of that dispositioning. And in fact, it was like 63% of the women they interviewed said definitely we're cutting back. The men, it was only 36%. Women putting money into savings, they were higher. It wasn't really that much difference between the men and the women. They were almost 50-50 on it. Men was 39, women were 40. Postponing a home improvement project, there was a difference. Women saying, yes, let's postpone it until things get better, 43% for women, 26% for men. Putting off a big home purchase like an appliance, a TV, etc., 39% for women, 24% for men. canceling a vacation. Women were more inclined to do that because of the money output. Men were, well, not so much inclined to do that way. Putting off buying a new car, they were sort of close on this. The men and the women were not that different. And putting off a doctor visit or a medical procedure, they were pretty much equal on that. Women, a few more women in that direction than the men. But when it came to really getting down to the bare knuckles of finances, when it came to pulling in, women were more inclined to do it than the guys were. And I just think that that's so often the case, and part of it may be just downright experience, because, again, as we were talking about earlier, women typically are the caretakers. But, you know, in today's world, a lot of people are doing the same thing. They're thinking along the same lines. I was listening to another radio show when I was out doing errands earlier this week, and one of the comments made by a man who had called in, he said he went out looking for a new truck. And he said, I've got a truck. I've had it for about 20 years. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to repair it because my engine is wearing out. I'm going to have to replace the engine. So I started getting the numbers from the mechanic. And he said, then I went and I looked at what it was going to cost me for a brand new truck equivalent to what I had. And he said, I was looking at prices anywhere from $26,000 up to $40,000. And he said, then when I sat down and figured out what the interest was going to be on that, I went back to the numbers of what the mechanic told me to replace the new engine and other things. He said, heck, I think I'll spend $5,000 or $6,000 on my vehicle, take care of that, and not have to have a car payment that's going to be going on for a long time. So this is the thinking of a lot of people. And in media, you're hearing more and more about the automakers and various things that are going on, and they're saying we're just not making the sales. Well, in the minds of many people, there is going to be, if I'm going to be spending this kind of money, we've already gone through so much of a high increase in gasoline. Now it's back down to where it was. But the thing is, if we're going to be going through economic hard times, am I really going to be putting money out for a vehicle, which is the equivalent maybe of a down payment on a home, or would I be better off saving that money, doing what this gentleman said he was going to do on this radio program that I was listening to, and that is taking care of what I need to take care of and not spending the equivalent of $50,000 or $60,000 by the time you get through with your interest payments or whatever, although a lot of them today now are saying zero interest. However you work it, where is it you want your money to go? How is it you want to manage with it, and how do you want to keep it liquid? How do you want to have a reserve for yourself? What is it you're wanting to do? And, you know, when we're talking about the economy and all of these things that are going on, keep in mind, this is a wonderful time, a wonderful time. If you're an entrepreneur, to look at new ways of doing things, to look at new venues that can be explored, what is it if what you have been in is becoming obsolete? Where can you put yourself so that you are going to be on the curve that moves forward? Because life is always in flux. It is never just a straight line. And when you look back at history, no matter how hard times have been, there have always been those people that have been innovative throughout the world that have created a shift and been on that leading edge, and been on that leading edge moving forward. And so that's what we have to do. We need to, and I say have to, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. I encourage you to consider it. Be aware that you can do something differently. It may take you a while to figure it out. But don't be adverse to learning. Don't be adverse to growing into a new direction. Don't ever feel you're too young, too old, too uneducated, whatever. There's always an option. But the only way you're going to find out those options, if you're willing to ask questions and you're willing to explore. So don't believe everything that you hear on the news and think that that's going to be the signature for everything going on. Innovation is usually what is motivated when times get tough. What can we do differently? And that gives you an ace. When you can come from that positioning, how can we do something differently? And don't be afraid to brainstorm with other people. You may have someone, a perfect stranger, one day give you an idea that's worth its weight in gold and then some. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 877-8765-227, or 888-815-9756. I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little insight. And when we come back, hey, I've got some tips for shopping online, too. Perfect time of the year to do it. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Give me a buzz. I apologize for giving you the wrong date for Richard Bandler. He's going to be with us tomorrow. As I said, he's into NLP, and he's just really dynamic and a wonderful man. Neuro-linguistic programming is a very, very good system to use. And then also on Friday, we're going to be talking with Bob Friedman. We're going to be talking about Milton's Secret. If you've been wondering about a gift for a child, this is great. But we're also going to go into another subject matter as well. We're going to be talking about publishing. So this is something that I think you are going to find interesting if you're a person that has been interested in becoming a published author, which is quite an experience, I know, because I've done it more than once. But regardless, you yourself can find out a little bit, and Bob is the owner of a publishing house. So we have got so many interesting people coming up this month. And on BBS, there's a listing of all the guests. And yes, there's a little bit of confusion about what went on yesterday and today, but it's all straightened out now. So I hope you'll be able to catch up with everything else that is going to be happening. Now, I wanted to tell you, I'm going to be giving you, if you have kids in the house and maybe you want to keep them occupied with something real simple, how about making tree decorations, tree cookies that can be used if you want year after year. There's a lot of fun things you can do. So I found a recipe on that I will be sharing with you. But right now I want, so get yourself a pad of paper and a pen. Right now I want to share with you five tips that I came across for shopping online. And this is something more and more people are doing. Shopping online many times enables you to get a lot of special coupons and discounts. I still like going out into the stores, but my time doesn't always give me the opportunity to go out and gad about the way I used to. So this is something, if you are a person that's really web savvy, which I know most of you are that listen to this show, shopping online is really something you like to do. So if you sign up, you can sign up for bargains. If you sign up for email alerts from your favorite e-tailers, you'll hear about online specials that they have. And there are all kinds of deals, such as free shipping on orders of $75 or more at certain major stores. And you can get 20% savings on your entire order, you know, if you purchase a certain amount of clothing on certain sites. There's all kinds of things that go on for appliances, fitness gear, whatever it is that you're interested in. And especially with the holiday season, if you believe half of what's said on the news, the retailers are really excited about having you order online, and they're pleased to be able to offer the deals. Also, people that have credit cards, if you are a frequent shopper at any one store, if you have a particular card that offers you perks, there's so many different ones.
I know some of the cards that I have had offer perks for travel, and so we use those in particular if we're wanting to reach our travel objectives. So just be aware of those little things, and buy what you know. So many times when you buy an item, if you are aware of what that particular business, store, retailer supplies, then you are going to be more satisfied with your purchase. If you're buying something for the first time from someone that you don't know anything about, you might find the sizes don't fit, if it's clothing, just check things out. If you're really in a rush for the holidays, you want to be sure that you work with those people that you have become familiar with, that you really know. Also, look for good return policies. If you have somebody that says, gee, if you don't return it within, you know, 24 hours or something like that, which there aren't too many of those, but you're going to not be able to get your refund. So look for those businesses that are going to give you really good return policies. You know, I think of companies like Nordstrom's that will say you get it back. We don't even question about it. There's other retailers that do the same thing. Also, watch for your shipping and handling charges. Those can really hit you. That happened to me once. I had ordered something, found it was not up to par. I sent it back, and the shipping was half of the cost of the item. By the time I ended up paying for the shipping when it was sent to me as well as sending it back, the cost was just amazing. So be aware of your shipping and handling charges when you are shopping online. Just a few tips there. Well, I wanted to share with you this recipe. It's so simple, and it's great if you're wanting to do something unusual. Maybe you belong to a church or a group, and you're going to have a bazaar coming up trying to raise money, or you've got a special Christmas party that you're putting on to raise funds for a different group. This is something that kids could do. It would be wonderful for a fundraiser, but also it could be a keepsake for you, and the kids love to do this. Now, this is the recipe. You're going to need 4 cups of flour, 4 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 cup of salt. Obviously, these are not for eating. 1 cup of salt, 1.5 cups of water, and then you want cookie cutters, you want some Mod Podge, M-O-D-P-O-D-G-E, that you get at your craft store, and a little straw and some ribbon. And maybe you'll have some other things around. Maybe you've got some old Christmas decorations that you don't like anymore, but you can disassemble and make use of this for this in making the cookies. Now, your oven has to be preheated to 300 degrees. You mix your flour, salt, and water. You knead it really well, and you make a small ball. If the ball cracks, you add a few drops of water to the dough. Now, you'll roll your dough to a half-inch thickness, and then, once it's rolled out, then you use your cookie cutters. And what you do, you take a straw and poke a hole 1/4 inch from the top of each ornament that you make. And then you bake them for 1 hour at 300 degrees. Now, you need to allow the ornaments to cool completely, and you want them to dry out. So you want to put them in a place that's not damp, where they're going to be able to sit for 2 days. And then you paint them with the Mod Podge, and when they're dry, you thread and hang them on the tree with a ribbon. And they'll keep for a long time. You can pack them very easily between bubble wrap, and it's just going to be wonderful. And think of how much fun the kids would have with this. You can just do all kinds of things, and there's no limit to the imagination. And maybe it's just a tradition you'd like to have with the family, where everybody does an ornament for the Christmas event, and then it's sort of kept there, and you have all kinds of fun things that you can talk about when you see that up on the tree, and maybe give some to family members or friends or whatever you want to do. But it's a real good idea, and I thought it was just so clever. You could make snowflakes, Christmas trees, you name it. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I didn't get to your astrological forecast today, but hey, we've got tomorrow, and we're going to be able to do it then. So just know that you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Just realize that if you've had a stress day like I had, or dealing with odds and ends of situations, just know, like a friend of mine told me a long time ago, this too shall pass. Also, 100 years from now, who cares? Enjoy your day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Be blessed. We'll be back here same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.